Our next speaker is Dr. Sargur Srihari, and he is a distinguished professor in the Department of Computer Science and Engineering at the University of Buffalo, the State University in New York. Dr. Srihari is the founding director of the Center of Excellence for Document Analysis and Recognition. His work led to the first automated system for reading handwritten postal addresses in the world. An author of more than 300 papers, 3 books, and 7 U.S. patents, he served on the Committee on Identifying the Needs of the Forensic Science Community with the National Academy of Sciences. So he's one of those NAS members.
Yeah. I was one of the quiet guys there.
Dr. Srihari is a fellow of the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers and of the International Association for Pattern Recognition. And unfortunately, me being a University of Michigan fan, Dr. Srihari is a distinguished alumnus of the Ohio State University College of Engineering. Okay.
Thank you, Jerry. I hate to sit down and talk, but I guess I'll try it. So I will try and speak on different types of impression evidence than the previous talks on fingerprints. Of course, fingerprints, I think, probably are the most important of the impression evidences, but there are also these other areas, handwriting and footwear evidence, and I'll speak about the kind of research we are doing, particularly for the characterization of uncertainty. And specifically, I'll talk about how does one go about characterizing rarity, which is the kind of thing that the DNA evidence does. People are able to say that the chance that this is matched is one in such a large number that it's got to be this person, that kind of thing. So can this be done with things like handwriting and with footwear? And so, where do we begin? My first slide here is just forensic modalities. We talk about impression evidence. I think for the forensic community, this is all quite well known. This is just a tree describing impression evidence, includes latent prints of the kind of forensic evidence we saw earlier on. It also includes handwriting in question documents, printers, footwear, tie thread, firearms, tool marks, etc. So many of the issues of characterizing uncertainty, I think, is common to all of these fields. So, but my talk is going to be largely about the handwriting and the shoe print arena. Now, why do we need uncertainty models at all? Why do we need to say, how sure are we? Courts have long allowed testimony of certain individualization or exclusion or inconclusive. So it's possible for a testimony to say that this is individualized. This is this person and no other, or exclusion as well. But of course, as we have seen over the last many years, several exonerations have been taken place and misidentifications and so on, so that caused a lot of concern and, among other things, that also led to the formation of the NAS committee. And the NAS committee recommendations include study of these kinds of issues. So those are some of the background as to why academics should do some research on this issue of how to characterize uncertainty. On the other hand, one can say there's nothing new about uncertainty. We heard today the lunch speaker talked about Benjamin Franklin. Here is another quote of Benjamin Franklin, was that nothing is certain but death and taxes. Right? So also we can say in forensic testimony also, it is not certain, nothing is certain about individualization, exclusion. There's got to be some level of uncertainty about it, and it's better to be able to say that in some quantitative manner. So this issue of expressing uncertainty itself has a lot of some uncertainty in it. How do you go about doing it? One can take measurements from evidence of the kind we talked about in fingerprints. I'll now talk after this slide about handwriting. One can take the measurements from that, and one can compute from that something called rarity, which is the joint probability of those exact features. Let me see if I can use this. Yeah, rarity. So this would be based on, you make some measurements, says, how unusual is this thing? How unusual is this piece of handwriting? Or how unusual is this particular structure of the fingerprint? So that's called, we can call that as a rarity. And the other thing is, when you have a known and the evidence, one can compare the two together and say, how similar are they? How sure do you think these two are the one and the same? It came from the same source, and we can call that as similarity uncertainty. Of course, one can say, well, you know, these could also be combined together and expressed as one level of uncertainty. But there are really two different things here: rarity of the basic structure itself, and then and what is the uncertainty in the comparison. So there are probability models for each of these things, and similarity usually depends on a particular similarity measure. How do you measure the two things are similar? What is the distance in Euclidean space or whatever space? What is your measurement of similarity? With respect to the NIST software that talked about earlier on, there is what's called as a Bozorth matcher. So it gives you a particular score that says how similar are these two things. And of course, once you get into similarity, one can talk about likelihood ratios, coming under the hypothesis that they are from the same. One can have a probability distribution of what is the similarity score. How is it distributed when the two came from the same, or when the two came from different sources, what is the distribution? And one can use those two probability distributions to compute what's called as a likelihood ratio and express that as a ratio of the prosecution hypothesis to the defense hypothesis and say that is the strength of the conviction here. Of course, one can model it in various statistical ways using what are called as frequent distributed Bayesian models and so on. All right. So let me now get into how these kinds of ideas can be useful in an area such as handwriting, in handwriting comparison. Here we have the classic handwriting comparison case. We have a known piece of handwriting, comes from a database we created of handwriting samples. And then we also have here a questioned piece of handwriting. All right. So when comparing these two, we have letter shapes. We have shapes of pairs of letters. We call those bigrams. We have shapes of words and things like that. One could compare all these things to see how similar is the writing. One could also look at what are called as macro features or pictorial features, looking at the spacing between the lines and the words and so on. So lots and lots of things a question document examiner uses to determine whether these two samples were written by the same person or not. Well, we took on this issue. Ideas of expressing uncertainty in handwriting have been around, and question document examiners have thought about this, but they really did not have the computational tools available. It's a massive task to be able to compute all the underlying probabilities to be able to say what is the probability of these two structures being one and the same. So we first have to begin with what are the features of handwriting. So here is an example of a bigram, I call it. It's the letter pair TH. So our document examiners have thought about this. How do you describe this TH? So here is a table on the right-hand side. So there are, you know, how do they characterize the shape of a TH? Height relationship between T to H. Is T shorter, T is even, T is taller, or no set pattern? Shape of loop of H. Is this loop of H retrace stuff, curved right, straight left, curved left, straight right, both sides curved, no fixed pattern? Shape of arch of H. I guess this is this one here, rounded arch, pointed arch, no set pattern. Height of cross on T is in upper half, in lower half, cross above, no fixed pattern. Baseline of H is slanting upward, slanting downward, even, no set pattern. Shape of T, tented, single stroke, looped, closed, mixture of shapes. This is the kind of thing a document examiner would look at when he looks at this T, he or she looks at this TH, and saying that is the basic description. And we chose here TH because TH happens to be the most commonly occurring pair of letters in the English language, right? Second most is ER, third is ON, etc., etc. So TH is the most common one that occurs in a lot of writing. So we said, let's look at TH. So it's necessary to compute these kinds of things. It's very complicated to compute these things by just looking at this image. So we computed a bunch of things here. And we said, well, we can compute four different things. Height relationship of T to H, presence of loops, T and H connected, slant of T and H. And then we said, well, 47% of the time T is shorter, 22% of the time T is even with H, and 29% of the time T is taller than H. Loops, 10% loop only in T, 11% of the time loop only in H, 6% of the time loop in both, 71% of the time no loops, like that. This is the kind of thing. How do you do this? By looking at a world of THs extracted from a lot of writing and saying, how often do these things happen? So So once you get that, you can calculate what's called as a joint probability. So you have observed this particular TH, which consists of the four features X1, X2, X3, X4. X1 could be height relationship, second presence of loops, etc. Now, once this is called as a joint probability in probability theory. Once you have a joint probability, that can be expressed as a product here, which consists of what are called as conditional probabilities. X1 given X2, X3, X4, X2 given X3, X4, X3 given X4, etc. It gets pretty, you know, a long expression like that, which is called as a joint probability. So that's what needs to be computed. Now, computing something like that is not easy. You're going to have lots of examples of, even for TH, you know, the order of, you know, thousands of exemplars. Every one of them has to be analyzed, and you compute them. And then you need to express these kinds of things, and it gets too complicated. And so, although this idea has been around, nobody has been able to compute these things before. So, one can look at what are called as independences. This is basic probability theory. Are two features independent? If two features are, if X1, X2, X3, X4 are all independent, that probability calculation is very simple. Simply multiply all the four probabilities and you have it. But that would be a very inaccurate calculation because they're all dependent on each other. And you got to determine which of these features are dependent on others. So we have to figure out all these conditional independences. And if you figure out that some of them are conditionally independent, you get a simpler expression. So one could possibly compute that. Okay, so idea here would be, we encounter a particular TH in a handwriting, and the forensic examiner can testify saying that is an extremely rare TH, and that is the particular probability that it occurs at all. So one can make such a statement analogous to, say, in DNA and so on. So we went further here, conditional probability tables. We got to compute all these things, and so here there are, one is a height relationship between TH, presence of loops given the other variables and so on. So an extremely large number of tables have to be computed in order to have all those conditional probabilities to be able to figure out the final probability. So actually we did this. We did this for the letter TH. We went about looking through 1,500 people's handwriting and extracted THs, computed underlying probabilities of all of these things that a document examiner wishes that they knew so that they can calculate it. That way, we are able to say, here are several THs. So this particular TH here has a certain probability, 0.0004 or something like that. This particular one has a T is taller than H, neither have a loop, and T and H are connected, and slant of both T and H is positive. This one is shorter than H and so on. So we get different types of probability for each of these things. So we are starting point here. We can say how unusual is this particular TH. And of course, if we have much more handwriting available, we can now look at all of them together and say what is the particular probability associated with that. So this is a style of calculation is called rarity, evaluating the rarity of this type of handwriting. Now, to do this is an enormous task. We got to be able to take thousands of samples of TH, and that's not the only combination in the English language. You're going to have all the letters of the alphabet, all combinations, and so on. So you'll have to look at all of these things. So it's infeasible to do it manually. So we've been developing computer programs to do these kinds of things. First of all, when you have handwriting samples, how do you associate the truth with it? Okay, are we looking at a TH here or an ER here and so on? This is an interface where you can type in the ground truth here. It matches it to the handwriting and associates the handwriting with the ground truth so that you have all these pairs and you can extract them all out. Here is the world of THs now. And to that, we have to apply the feature extraction algorithms. And the features are extremely different for everything. We saw what it was for TH. For an ER, it'll be a totally different set of features and so on. A very large number of such features have to be computed. So it's a fairly laborious computer programming task to be able to extract all these features so that you can apply it to a large database to extract the particular frequencies. So that's about rarity computation. So the usefulness of this is simply to say how unusual is this something. The next one is, how do you now characterize uncertainty? If I give you two letters E, and then I ask you how similar are they, and what is the strength of the opinion, you got to capture their similarity in feature space. We have some simple method here that we're using. And once you have the measurement and you have now two distributions that are corresponding to the similarity measure, when they came from the same, called as the prosecution hypothesis, and when they came from two different writers, that's called as the defense hypothesis. The prosecution and defense hypothesis are two probability distributions. This is for the letter E. This is for slant in a writing, and those are two different distributions. So once you have these distributions, one can, given any pair, saying, I've got an E here, I've got an E here, what can you say about it? We can measure the similarity, and we can read off the two probabilities from these distributions and express that as a likelihood ratio. So we have a computer program that actually does this kind of thing. Here is a K, here is another K, and it computes the not just the likelihood ratio, but what's called as a log likelihood ratio. It takes the likelihood ratio, takes the logarithm of it. If it's positive, then it says it sounds like it's the same writer. It's 2.145 here, means a similar case. This K and this K, this one has a loop here, this one doesn't have a loop. It's minus 0.2894, saying these two Ks probably were written by two different people. These two are more similar, these two somewhat not similar, that kind of thing. So one can have a characterization of the likelihood ratios or the log likelihood ratios for all pairs of Ks. Now one can accumulate all these types of information for every letter, every pairs of letters in the two documents, the known and the question, and come up with an overall log likelihood ratio. Of course, you consider them to be independent, not independent, some subtle issues come about. So for example, here is one sample of handwriting, here's another sample of handwriting, and the log likelihood ratio comes out here as 41.52. It's a large positive number, and which gets mapped into the scale, identified as same, highly probable same. This is a 9-point scale recommended by the SWIGDOC, the technical group, suggests a 9-point scale for question document examiners in the US. It's a 5-point scale in Europe and so on. So one could map these kinds of numbers into this kind of an opinion as to how sure one is about the writing. This is, again, a computer program interface. Here are two handwriting samples displayed here. And these are the kinds of features that are being used. And this is another pop-up screen that says these two handwriting samples are being assigned to the category highly probable they were not the same writer for this particular case. Okay. All right. Okay, that's about question documents. And let me just wrap up the last 5 minutes with footwear comparison now. So same kind of thing in all of impression evidence. So you have a question. The terminology is a little bit different when you go from one type of impression evidence to the next. In handwriting, we call it question documents. In fingerprints, we call them as latent prints. In the case of footwear, we call them as crime scene impressions. Right? So this is a crime scene impression. And here are several known prints over here. So the task, again, is how rare is this particular pattern? You know, we haven't really looked at that much at this point. We look at the similarity here. Like, can you compute the similarity between these two and give us some kind of a strength of the match? So we have to do a lot of pre-processing, image processing, and so on. So we took on that shoe prints are man-made artifacts, objects. They're not natural things like fingerprints. They're made of geometrical primitives. We looked at lots of them. They seem to have lots of circles on them, ellipses on them, lines on them, etc. There seems to be all these primitives. So we said, let's detect all these primitives. These become our minutiae or whatever for shoe prints. So we detect circles, ellipses, and lines. And then we compute. Now, what are we after here? So once you got all these primitives, you got to have a measure. How do you say these two prints are from the same? Or how similar are these two prints? So for that, we compute what's called as an attribute relational graph, which represents the whole shoe print now as a graph of some form. We've given two graphs now, one can have a graph distance measure. So that's the kind of thing we do. And we have defined what's called as footwear print distance. So I given two foot prints, I can say how similar are these two things, given any two pieces of footwear. It's highly mathematical in nature. But anyway, that's a little bit of formula to indicate to you. It's a complicated formula, that's all. So here we have footprint distance values. Here is the crime scene print. Here are known prints. And we take that and says, well, what is the distance based on this? For each of these, we calculate this value. So, and why is this useful? It is, you have a database. There are literally thousands of possible shoe prints in a shoe print database. So when you have a crime scene print, one could match against every one of them. It becomes a problem of image retrieval. So you can say, well, I find the closest match to be, let's say, this Nike here or an Air Force, you know, one or something like that. We can pull that up. And we can do things like cluster all these things. That's the kind of thing we have done. We have taken a large shoe print database of thousands of prints, and we have clustered them into groups so that very quickly we can go and say, well, this particular crime scene print seems to belong to this particular cluster. And how do you cluster things? You need a way of measuring similarity between prints, and that mathematical formula that I showed earlier on does that. And once you have this kind of thing, one can also get into the similarity distributions within class, between class, when you have crime scene prints and the knowns associated with it, one can have distributions and one can compute things like probabilities under the prosecution hypothesis, probability under the defense hypothesis, and so on. Here is a crime scene print, and here are all the known prints. For one of these, for the closest matching print, the shoe print distance was 0.0605. The probability of the prosecution hypothesis that it was done by the same is 0.2950. So we now have a concrete probability associated with could it be the same. All right. Summarizing, nothing is certain, including forensic matching. Features and similarity measures are needed for computing uncertainty. So we begin with what are features, and then how do you measure similarity between two objects. And then we now map into feature space. We work in feature space to talk about rarity. How unusual is this particular combination of features? And then we work in similarity space. We look at similarities of pairs of things in the world, and then we say how similar, what is the uncertainty associated by means of a likelihood ratio for similarity. And then once you have a likelihood ratio like that, we can then map it into a just an understandable opinion. Instead of numbers, you would simply say it is likely that it was done by the same, right? And in order to do all of this, there's an enormous amount of underlying probability extraction. How often do these features occur? And in order to do that, particularly in the case of handwriting, you need computer tools to be able to analyze large quantities of handwriting to extract the relative frequencies of all of these things. So one can automatically say, I see a particular structure, and then it comes out and says, well, the probability of that structure is this. So that's the kind of work we're trying to do. Okay, thank you very much.